You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It's 8 o'clock and we're putting our hands deep in the soil. It's getting close to time for fall planting. Talk about some soil prep and also some highlights from the Shade Conference that was yesterday at the Desert, was it JW Marriott? Was that what the name of the...
Right, Desert Ridge Resort, yep.
And Shade Conference is put on by the Arizona Nursery Association and stands for, let's see, Southwest Horticultural Something Day of Education. Annual Day of Education, there it is. And they bring guest speakers. There was a guy in from Dallas with a new smart irrigation timer. There's a company based out of Florida with a different type of irrigation underground drip emitter that seemed pretty interesting. I mean, they bring in some really good guests. Eisenhower was there talking about sustainable pruning.
And the premise of all of that, most of it anyway, besides just being general education, is that landscape, turf care, people licensed that have professional licenses can go get their continuing education credits at this conference and actually get quite a few of them, as there's different tracts that they can attend, whether it's a design, a whole track in a series of classes on landscape design or water management or maintenance or pruning, pest control, that sort of thing. So it's become a big event, over 500 attendees that come every year and get their CEUs. And then there's a trade show that is in the main hall where they serve lunch and refreshments. But then, so vendors that are associated with industry, Sanderson Ford was there.
Nice big 550 flatbed dump.
Big dump truck. Yeah, that was quite the star of the show, I think. Empire Southwest, Caterpillar guys were there. As well as, most of our local growers, nurseries, Rainbird sprinklers, the irrigation Ewing folks. So there's well representation of the horticulture industry there for these folks to see what's new and out there. We were there with a booth with the Farm's Choice Fertilizer.
On the education side of thing in the seminars, two of the four main topics were directly tied to water. One was design for rain, and the other was water management. And the other two indirectly were related to water pest management. The amount of moisture you have could relate to the amount of pests and tree health. I mean, every tree needs water, but it's a very interesting topic, and we've spent a lot of time doing water research just about the Colorado water system and the CAP and the Salt River Project and how those are managed, and we're putting them all together for a big water month coming up here in October. But some of the new there's plenty of acronyms.
Government's great at that.
Well, and even in the GI, Green Infrastructure, was a key acronym yesterday, as well as LID, L-I-D, Low Impact Development. There was two new key topics that I can't remember if it's the last 2 years I've missed Shade for scheduling conflicts, but those were the first times I've ever seen any of those printed somewhere.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all of those people. I'm often in meetings and they'll be throwing around. I'm like, wait a minute. What's that? What is that? What are you talking about?
Or like EV, evapotranspiration was a big key word.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of like time out. I'm not up on the lingo. Explain that one to me.
But it is interesting just how technical they're getting in the delivery of water to the plant and what type of plant they're watering and the different types of apps that you can manage from on your phone.
It is, and it's kind of an untold, it's almost a secret to the rest of the world. So, I was at a conference in Yuma last year, and this was in the middle of the DCP, the Drought Contingency Plan, and the folks in Yuma were a little bit up in arms about the fact that the cities, who are also vying for their share of water, weren't doing more to conserve water. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. You're uninformed because here's what they are doing. And then there's things like that that I, you know, you don't even mention the technology that, you know, the deliverers of water, the infrastructure, the irrigation systems.
Jerry Colangelo said one time, the opportunities in adversity, and there's going to be plenty of opportunities for new inventions of water saving and water smart management technology, and it's fun to see all the different things that come to market.
Necessity is the mother of invention, right? So when we live in a state that's really in kind of a drought all the time, and Arizona is a long ways ahead of a lot of other states in the delivery of water, and people ask me all the time, well, how are you guys dealing with that? And I said, the same way we've been dealing with it since they built Roosevelt Dam in 1912. We learned to store water and how to deliver water and use water responsibly. And certainly there's lots of room for improvement, but the one thing that Arizona has had to do because of necessity and the scarcity of water is how to take care of that resource.
And if you'd like to join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348, that's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions to 411-923. And you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com if you'd like to ask your landscape or gardening question. We'll have a few other highlights and different specific products that we were studying at Shade yesterday. But we're coming into fall planting season. We've got it's one of your favorite times. Spring, we can have great gardens, but I know you've said multiple times that you prefer the fall planting season, maybe just more than anything, enjoying the weather cooling off.
Yeah, I liken fall to what spring is like when you've been sitting with snow and cold weather and dreary conditions around you in places back east in the upper Midwest. I think our fall here is very much like that. We've been, you know, in an adverse situation with weather. It's been hot. We've kind of the same thing. You're cooped up. You can't really do as much outside. You can't enjoy it as much, although certainly you can do more when it's hot than when it's freezing cold. But so you have this change of season, this pent-up cabin fever of, God, my yard looks terrible. I need to get out there and do something. And then the weather breaks and you can't. Plus the fact that going into fall and winter, you know you're going into spring is kind of like bittersweet, right? The weather is fabulous, but you know just what's just around the corner.
Here comes the heat.
So I really like fall, and as like I said, and you know, I think geraniums are my favorite plant and flower of all time, and I think that's because they just signify that summer's over, fall it's time. Here come the geraniums. Let's get going with this beautiful landscape.
And vegetable gardening, what are we planting?
So we should be getting ready to. I don't know that I would advocate doing anything yet, but it's, you know, the nice thing is it's a long season too. It's not like spring where, man, you've got a window, you better get it in, or if it's not in time, it's going to get hot and that crop isn't going to make. Our winter crops, which are, you know, really the root crops, the leafy crops, the stemmy crops, so, you know, things like carrots and radishes and beets and turnips and lettuce and spinach and all those leafy things and root things. It's not a, you know, you got to get it in, but you've got a long season. In fact, one of the things I really advocate is that people do multiple plantings so that you don't have all of your carrots ready at one time. You have a few here, and then a couple weeks later, you've got some, and so forth and so on. So you can be harvesting these cool season vegetables for months on end. So that's what we're getting ready, and the same token, you're not in a big hurry, so take your time. It's hot. You don't want to get out there and kill yourself all in one day. You know, start by maybe removing and getting rid of all of that spring and summer stuff that's looking pretty shabby, and you're just wasting water watering it anyway. So let's pull it out. Let's get the soil turned. Let's get some good compost and start prepping the soil and maybe a little fertilizer and gypsum, and maybe take a couple of weekends and do a really good thorough job instead of being in a hurry and rushing it. And then by the time we've got that done, you know, maybe mid-September when the nights finally start to cool off and things are starting to get a little more favorable, then you start easing into the planting of the crops that we just mentioned.
And I like your tip there on spreading out your planting so your harvest is spread out as well. It's vegetable and ground gardening is a little different than a or orange tree where it'll stay ripe on there for months.
Right. So, you know, I mean, when you've got lettuce that's getting, you don't want it to bolt and go to seed on you. And you know, you can only eat so much lettuce, depending on how many people are in your family, obviously. So if you've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that this week and next week, and then a couple weeks later, you got, you know, you can, you know, kind of dole it out a little at a time and have it for, and you can have these crops coming right clear till hot weather. So till, you know, April or May, even a lot of it.
Wow. And what types of lettuce grow good here? Iceberg isn't one that really.
Well, we grow a lot of iceberg in Yuma commercially.
Can
so,
we? Okay.
Oh yeah, you can. You know, it's not my favorite lettuce. If I'm going to grow lettuce, I'm going to grow things like romaine and grow more of the spring mix type leafy greens personally than taking up limited space for iceberg. It's pretty inexpensive to go buy. you know, I kind of look at gardening as, you know, I'm going to grow stuff that, number one, is relatively easy to grow. I don't want to have to fight this thing and babysit this thing to grow real exotic, hard-to-grow stuff. That's fine if that's what you want to do. Number two, you know, how much space does it take? I've got a finite amount of space. Let's take corn, for instance. Wrong season necessarily, but I think unless you've got a ton of room, everybody wants to grow corn. It's the absolute last thing I would put in my garden. You know, you can buy fresh corn, you know, through the summer months in Arizona, all over the place.
Rosie just came back from the White Mountains and stopped in Heber, picked up some roadside corn at a Taylor.
For
20 cents an ear or something.
And Sholo corn's coming on right now. Yeah, you bet. And it's awesome.
Yeah. She was just on the side of the road. Pickup truck full to the top of the bed, probably several thousand dollars worth of corn.
There you go.
And I mean, she had a line. I mean, she couldn't take the money fast enough.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It was delicious. I made the best mock shoe I've ever made.
Now he's talking.
Big deal.
It was delicious.
But it takes up a lot of space. It's relatively inexpensive to buy. You know, it takes a lot of water. So I kind of look at my garden that way.